Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Merry Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. Today it is June 25th, and this episode is coming out today, I think, if producer Abby is amazing and cranks it out on time, because that's just how our relationship has been lately. But I wanted to squeeze this episode in real quick before we kick off a mini series next week about my wildflower patch. I've been getting so many questions about it as I've been starting to post some pictures on how it looks. And I just wanted to explain what our process is. There are literally hundreds and hundreds, thousands, probably millions of resources for how to plant your wildflower patch, but they're all a little bit daunting. I personally was trying to read and trying to look around on how to do things, and I ended up contacting my late husband's godparents because they did it last year and asked them exactly how they did it. They live just 5 minutes away, and they definitely learned some things that I learned from them, and we can continue to try to both improve on how we did our process. They're kind of redoing theirs a little bit because, as we've learned, the perennials really start taking over, but we'll talk about that part toward the end. So my wildflower patch is roughly 20 by 120 feet. So we did the math, figured out exactly how many square feet that was, exactly how many acres that was, and then we figured out how much seed we needed based on the space we wanted to do. Originally, I wanted to do a bigger piece. We have a soybean field. Well, it's not just soybeans. It can be corn. It's usually corn or beans. We rent it out to one of our good friends, and he also happens to own an excavating company. So then every spring he very kindly pushes a bunch of boulders up from our field for us. So it's a good win-win. But I wanted that south acre. Last year I tried planting pumpkins in that south acre, and it did not go well because we were in a massive drought, and I think we got one pumpkin in the whole thing. And no amount of water in that sandy soil. I mean, we gave up on trying to water it right away because it just was not going to be helpful. But this year has been extremely wet, not as wet as most people in our area, but we've been doing really well on moisture considering last year we didn't get a drop for like 3 months. And so last year we had pumpkins planted there that got quickly overtaken by weeds, but we tried our best. We have a bagger on our mower, and it's a pretty big size. Actually, I would say that my lawnmower is kind of the one purchase that I made out of an impulse buy after my husband passed away. I could not start our old mower. It was junk. It was so junk, and it was a zero turn. And so here I had a three-year-old and I was pregnant, and I'm like, I need something with a steering wheel. And I went into John Deere. Actually, one of my cousins is, their family owns an implement, and I went in there and I was like, you know, I need a new lawnmower, and I bought a brand new one, and I sent a Snapchat to a couple of my friends, and they were like, I thought you weren't supposed to make any big purchases. I'm like, well, you know what? There was a need, there was a problem, and I solved it. So just leave me alone. And they're like, yep, nope, not judging. But they were teasing me that like the Boston Red Sox probably have the same lawnmower because this thing was kind of huge. But it's great that it has the bagger because we use it for the flower farm for a lot of things. So for example, this wildflower patch, we started really mowing up the weeds last year and then putting them in the bagger, and then we would dump them in, not in the compost pile, but in like a burn pit so that we could get rid of them, because weed seeds just make more weeds. So then once we decided that, okay, we're not getting pumpkins, whatever, and so as long as we were mowing anyway, we mowed that section just to try to like keep the weeds from going to seed, and it worked pretty well. And then come fall, we ended up just tilling it all under, knowing that we were going to want to do the wildflower patch. Now, this is the part of the episode where I know I'm going to get so much hate. I'm going to be told, you didn't need to till it. Well, okay, I know we didn't need to, but this is what worked well for us, and we're not going to till it again. And so now we can have that section go to no-till, but to prepare the bed, that's kind of what we had to do. I know that there are other methods that we could have done it, but the fact is, this is what was sustainable for us with the level of work we were able to commit to it based on the rest of our farm. And so when we talk about sustainability, it has to be sustainable for the family actually doing the work. And now that it is a wildflower meadow, we won't be tilling it again. So it will, that one last time to prep the beds, and we're trying to move to more sustainable practices, even though I hate that word. I feel like it's extremely greenwashed, but we'll talk about that later. That's a whole other episode if you go back to my early episodes. But so we ended up tilling it in the fall, and then we were just keeping an eye on the weather. So here in Minnesota, you can till it or you can burn it. You can burn everything with like a flame torch propane thrower and just burn the entire area. That's what my late husband's godparents did about 3 or 4 miles away. If you're from the area, you know what I'm talking about, on 19th Avenue in Sartell. They had that huge wildflower patch a couple years ago, and it's there, but they made it smaller, and we'll talk about why they made it smaller. Because see, the thing is, people think that these wildflower areas are no work or no maintenance, and they are to an extent, but eventually the weeds are going to start taking over. Eventually there's going to be problems, and so you have to maintain it a little bit. It's not just entirely nature. So we ended up, I wanted to just sprinkle the seeds on it in this right before the snow fell, but we had no snow this year, and so we just let it sit, and it was there, and it sat there ready to go. And then actually in March in Minnesota, the ground was completely thawed and it was completely dry because we had like no snow, but there was a 12-inch blizzard on its way late March. So we hadn't had any snow all year. And then late March, we were going to get pounded on with 12 inches of that like heavy, wet snow. And so we decided, and I know this is maybe a little crazy, but we decided to till it one more time just so it was like powdery, because like I said, it was so dry. It was frozen lower underneath it, but Brent just had set the tiller at like the highest setting on our John Deere tractor, and he tilled maybe like 3 or 4 inches down just to loosen up that very, very top layer so that we wouldn't end up having to rake everything in by hand. And you know, when it's tilled at a 3 or 4 inch setting versus raked at a 1 inch setting and it's about to snow on top of it, I feel like the soil disturbance was pretty minimal. And so we tilled it, and then we took some 5 gallon buckets of sand and mixed in 1 pound at a time the wildflower mix to these buckets of sand. And then we just kind of eyeballed it and divided it up into 3 patches. And so we knew, okay, this 1 pound has to go on 1/3 of the area, this next pound. So that's what we ended up doing, was just like sprinkling it on everywhere. We did not go through and rake it because the ground was so powdery that we knew that it would kind of settle in. And you have to plant these flowers pretty shallow. And so we just sprinkled it across the whole thing and then let the snow just pound on top of it. And our family members, Dave and Judy, that did this a couple years ago, they took, I don't know if it was their four-wheeler or their lawnmower, but they went and drove in circles on the whole thing and just kind of compacted it in so that the seeds kind of stuck to the ground. We did not end up doing that because we knew the snow was coming, and that was gonna, you know, snow is the best insulator, the best compactor anyway. But the reason that that's important is if it wasn't going to snow right away, the seeds would probably blow away. So we timed it literally as the snow was falling, and then it was compacted in. Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides, or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy, and
I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website, because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks.
So I think, you know, I bought my seeds from Johnny Seeds. They have a really good selection of different mixes that are suitable for various climates and soil types. So I found one that was a butterfly and hummingbird mix. I don't know. I thought it was pretty, but they all do fine for my zones. I have a pretty, where I planted them, it's a pretty dry area. It's very sandy soil. And so, but making sure, however you do it, whether you burn them with the propane torch or you till it, you need to make sure the soil is removed of any weeds or debris before you start planting it, because otherwise there's no clean slate for them to, you know, for them to survive. Regular watering in the initial weeks is crucial to help them germinate. But like I said, it got to be spring, the snow melted, and then we didn't water them a single time because we just got lucky and we kept getting a spring rain every once in a while. We were a little bit worried about the germination phase. We went maybe 15 days without any moisture later in April, but they ended up just fine. So like I said, Johnny Seed is where I bought mine. I think they were maybe $140 per pound at that time. And my seeds were a little bit old because we meant to do this the last couple of years and just have not gotten around to it. And so my seeds were kind of old. And then we ended up getting 3 pounds of wildflower seed mix, and it ended up being about $550. So that's the other thing, is it's expensive to do it. And I actually tried it on our hillside. We tried burning it and then planted the seeds last year, and they did not come up at all. But it was a massive drought last year, so I wasted, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on my hillside. So that was cool. Other places that you can get, I'm actually going to look into this now for next year, because I want to do that other 2/3 of an acre and I want to do part of our hillside. And so I'm going to look into the CSP program. It's Conservation Stewardship Program through the USDA. So they offer grants and seed programs aimed at promoting biodiversity and conservation on agricultural land. So it's not CRP, it's CSP, but it's a really good way to get support for local or for larger scale wildflower projects. I think I definitely want to do that back. It's about 2/3 of an acre patch behind it. I don't think I'm going to turn our tillable into any more wildflower than it currently is, just because of the needs of our farm. Right now, we have someone that's renting it. We do intend on getting cattle. We're just looking at what that looks like. We're going through a major, you know, now that Brent and I are married, trying to figure out what our future looks like, what we want for our kids. And so I think we are going to just continue renting it to the same farmer. And then if he has corn, then we'll just buy the corn from him. So it works out really well rather than having to buy the equipment. So other places that you can buy the wildflower seeds: Prairie Moon Nursery, American Meadows, and Seed Saver Exchange. Those were, I searched a few different cut flower groups that I'm in and typed in wildflower, and those are the ones that popped up the most. Again, I bought mine from Johnny Seeds, so I don't know. But I think no matter where you're at, figure out, make sure that they're good for your area, your zone, your growing zone, and your type of soil. So wildflower seed mixes usually contain a mix of annuals and perennials. And if you're new here, annuals, you plant them that spring and they bloom that year. Perennials, the same plant comes back year after year. However, this is kind of a unique circumstance because I'm not picking the flowers, obviously. I mean, maybe I'll pick a few for some fun little bouquets, but I'm not picking the flowers, which means that the annuals will go to seed and they will drop their seeds and plant new ones next year. So next year, the patch is going to look at its peak. This year, it's primarily annuals, and then there are some perennials in there that need to establish themselves. Next year, it will be absolutely peak with, you know, the perennials doubling in size, starting to reproduce, get a little bit wider, and the annuals will still be dropping their seeds and be way more plentiful. It looks okay. It's just a little bit little bit skimpy. That's the word we're going to use. It's a little skimpy right now. It's beautiful, but it's a little skimpy. So next year will be its peak. And then honestly, already starting year three, it starts to be like, oh, there's way more perennials. It's all Bee Balm and Black Eyed Susans. What happened to all the Bachelor Button and the Cosmos and the Zinnias? And okay, where did everything else go? And then by year four or five, it is almost completely Bee Balm and Black Eyed Susans, to the point where my late husband's godparents, they ended up getting rid of probably 70% of their patch, and they burned it down. They mowed it down. They got rid of the Black Eyed Susans. They dug them out because it was turning into a Black Eyed Susan field. And so that is the thing. You have to maintain it. And so every few years you need to like have a controlled mow, a controlled burn, and cut out the old growth and encourage the new seedlings. I'm not saying you'll ever have to seed it again. I'm not the expert on this part. I've never done it. But from what I can read, if you go through and you just kind of have that control burn, it encourages that new growth. So planting a wildflower patch can be very rewarding. It can be beautiful. But just keep in mind that it's not going to always look like it does that first or second year. And that you have to get rid of the weeds and the grass and everything in that area before you do it, or else it's not going to work. It's not going to look like mine, at least. It's not going to look like what it looks like in the photos. And so I'm excited to learn more about this. I'm excited to go into my local NRCS office and talk to them about the CSP program now that I've experimented on my own a little bit. I'm one of those people that I have to dabble and I have to try and find out and I have to figure things out with trial and error before I hire help. I need to know that I did all I could before spending money on it, which I'm gradually, as a business owner, getting to be less and less that way. You know, you either pay for things with your money or you pay for things with your time. And as my business is growing, I don't have time to fail because time is money. If I, you know, there's some really big irons in the fire happening that I've not talked about really on social media or anything, but there's some really, really big things happening with our farm. And I am hiring experts immediately. I'm actually signing up for a business coach. It's going to cost me a fair amount of money, but I'm at this point where I need to learn how to do some things quicker than I originally anticipated. And so, you know, but with something like this patch, I was like, well, I'm going to try to grow this, you know, 15 by 120 foot patch. I'm going to try it on my own. Well, last year we tried it. We burned some area in the ditch, threw out the seeds in the fall right before it rained. And then it probably would have worked or gotten some flowers at least. But because of the drought, we just didn't get anything. So yeah, good luck with your wildflower patch. It's not rocket science. It's not, you know, this major, you know, intensive process, but that's what worked for us. But the parts that are important for a reason. Yes, you have to get rid of the weeds. You can't just throw seeds, you know, into an existing place. And yeah, you don't have to till it. You can burn it. But either way, you got to do something. And we tilled it just to loosen up the soil. And essentially, as the seeds settled in, they were that, you know, fourth inch depth. And because the snow compacted it, and it worked out really well for us. So thank you for listening to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.